Let's move to the polled items, because I think we have staff here standing
I've
by.
I've got people waiting for pay equity, too.
Oh, okay, let's do
that, Mayor.
All right, let's do pay equity and then move to the polled items.
368.
368.
368, direct the Bureau of Human Resources to evaluate existing workforce data and determine whether and how gender impacts types of appointments, pay at appointment, progression through the pay range, and promotional opportunities.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Yesterday, April 12th, was Equal Pay Day for women. It symbolizes how far into the year women must work in order to earn what men earned in the previous year. So, in other words, average women had to work until April 12th to earn what an average male would have made in all of 2015.
If I may just interrupt, it's for white women. For women of color, it's even longer.
I've got that. So rather than reading and passing a proclamation and reaffirming our values, which I know we all share here, pay equity, I decided to bring forth a resolution that calls on the Bureau of Human Resources to begin looking at our workforce data that will essentially create a scorecard or baseline for council to look at how the city of Portland is doing in regards to pay equity. As we've heard, women on average in Oregon, white women, earn 82% of what their male counterparts make, which is slightly better than the national pay equity gap. And women of color face an even wider pay gap. And women are less likely to negotiate for pay increases or promotions. And studies show that as more women enter traditionally male-dominated professions, the average pay for the profession actually goes down. The economic effects that pay inequity has on families and communities is profound. A study that just came out this week by McKinsey and Company found that if we could eliminate the pay equity gap, not even eliminate it, if we could just reduce it by half of what it is, so take that 20% gap and reduce it to even 10%, that would generate and grow our economy by an extra $2 trillion over the next 10 years. If the public and the private sector, as I said, did more to shrink that gender pay gap. And that figure, as I said, only represents reducing the pay gap by half. So that's a tremendous amount of infusion into our economy. That means women making more, supporting families, and ultimately our community is better off. And so with that, I just wanted to say, I think here in the city of Portland, we are doing a good job, but it's important to start baselining the information to give us the ability to pursue policy initiatives, both in public and potentially private sector as well. So I'm not waiving any particular concerns about what we're doing here at Portland or raising any particular concerns, but to rather reaffirm the importance that we look at this in a systematic manner, as I think BHR is doing a good job of doing. And so we should be reviewing this yearly to ensure that we have a good baseline and perhaps pursue policy initiatives as they may lead. And with that, I want to introduce for the first time before City Council my staff person, Tia Williams, who will talk a little bit more about this. Anna Canwood and Elizabeth Nunez from BHR are both here to answer questions.
Great. Yeah, good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Tia Williams from Commissioner Saltzman's office. We are extremely excited to bring this resolution to you this morning. As Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, yesterday was National Equal Pay Day for women, April 12th, which symbolizes how far into the year white women, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, have to work to earn the same wages as their male counterparts earned in the previous year. And we know that women of color have to work even farther into the year to achieve their equal pay. Commissioner Saltzman had tasked me with looking at different pay equity policies being implemented in the public sector around the country. And in that research, we were finding really innovative policies being passed by state and local governments that not only began chipping away at their internal pay gap, but that encouraged pay equity across sectors within their jurisdictions. Before looking any further at how those policies could work for the city of Portland or how we could implement them, we realized that there was little internal pay equity data for the city of Portland that we could point to and no formal way to report such data to council. Commissioner Saltzman felt it was important as a first step to create that baseline data by asking the Bureau of Human Resources to look at current workforce data and begin to review our pay equity practices. The goal is that this data would act as a scorecard to measure where we are now and then continue to track our progress in the future. We recognize that the City of Portland is already a leader in this area and has done an outstanding job by having policies and procedures in place that protect and promote pay equity. So our intention in bringing this resolution forward is to begin a dialogue about creating a formal mechanism to look at the workforce data. Some of the factors we're interested in looking at are outlined in the resolution, but we hope to gather data about appointments, payout appointments, promotions and progression through the pay range to see if there are any notable gender discrepancies. Thank you. I'm, of course, happy to take questions, but I'll turn it over to Anna and Elizabeth.
May I be the first to say that was the most impressive debuts we've seen in council?
Thank you.
Very well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners, Anna Canwitt, Bureau of Human Resources. I did want to make a few comments and then, of course, be open to questions as well. As Tia mentioned, one of the things that has worked in the city's favor when we're looking at pay equity is we have a written compensation policy adopted by council that talks about how the factors we use to set pay for employees, difficulty, complexity of job, we look at the market, we look at internal equity across our jobs in the city, and we very, very carefully guard that. You've probably had complaints from your bureau directors and managers, as have we, that we carefully analyze requests to change employees' job classes to increase their pay. We apply a duties test. So that policy that council has adopted and the implementation of it now by Elizabeth Nunes, our class comp manager, has really assisted the city in that. When we looked at some data in preparation for this resolution, and what the data tells us, if you look at percentage of female to male applicants and match that to percentage of female and male hires, the percentages are almost identical. When you look at promotions, we see the same thing. The data Elizabeth had gathered for at Commissioner Fish's request is looked at something for non-represented employees called range penetration. It is a class comp term, but it does mean where the non-represented employees move on our ranges, because as you know, unlike our contracts, which have steps that you move, you know, based on time in class, year one, year two, the ranges are more fluid. And employees can be hired in at any point in the range with some approvals needed, and also can move up through the range based on merit pay increases. That data shows us that, and controlled for time in class and the type of class, also shows us that we don't see a major discrepancy. But there is data we need to look at, and I'll get to that in a minute. This finding is similar to what Seattle found when they had a consultant look at their data, which was Seattle was paying similarly situated employees similar rates regardless of gender or race ethnicity. And what we did, we weren't looking at race and ethnicity. They also found two things that I haven't talked about yet that we found as well. One of those is that lower average salaries are likely due to higher percentages of women being in our lower ranges. So, for example, when we look at ranges 1 through 5 for our non-reps, which are our lowest ranges, it's about 255 women to about 76 men. Those numbers slowly reverse themselves as you progress through our pay ranges. So at our executive level, we have far more men in those positions than we do with women, far less people of color as well. In fact, a greater discrepancy there than when I'm looking at bureau directors as an example of our executive level. So that is similar to what Seattle saw. What Seattle found is women are more likely than men to be in part-time jobs. Our dashboard data shows the same thing. Much greater percentage of men than women in our regular permanent jobs. Those percentages practically reverse themselves when you're looking at casual and part-time work. Now, we don't know the reasons for this. And I'm going to touch on one more thing. As you know, we did promise in Elizabeth's work on the non-rep class comp study that we are applying, I think for lack of a better term, a pay equity lens. Because again, as I mentioned, our compensation policy, part of what drives our how we set wages in the city is the market. And as Commissioner Saltzman mentioned at the beginning of this resolution presentation, is historically, you know, we have white women and women of color are paid less. We have professions that have historically paid less because they're female dominated. And in fact, unfortunately, there was recently an article in the New York Times that says, as women move into male-dominated fields, the pay is going down. At any rate, what we are looking at, what Elizabeth and the consultants will be looking at as part of the non-rep study, is to be sure that the market data doesn't continue what we would consider to be the artificially lower pay for those classifications, our entry-level classifications and others, that have been considered female-dominated work. As Commissioner Saltzman stated, there's reports that we have that we can generate that I do think we should be providing to council on a biannual basis that it is a little more pointed than our affirmative action data. You get that anyway, but to drill down and show you what this data means, I think would be incredibly helpful. As far as next steps for us, as you know, we are resource constricted. In my bureau, but there are some things that we would like to do to try to drill down to some of this data. You know, we don't have the resources to bring a consultant to do a regression analysis and some of the very complicated things Seattle did, but we can start asking our business partners to talk to hiring managers when they have, for example, three final candidates, two women, one male. Why did you hire the male? And in fact, Elizabeth's team pushed to do that in a recent recruitment out of BDS, and I happen happy to say BDS actually, they did look at it, and the manager said, I talked to both women. One was soon to retire and wasn't interested. The other was part-time and wanted to be part-time. But that kind of information, I think, is something that we can start having bureaus look at, hiring managers look at, and track to see really what's going on. The other piece, and sorry, I'm being a little more long-winded than I thought I would be, is we now, as you know, mandate bias awareness training for all of our hiring panels. What my training in workforce development manager and I have talked about is including that kind of training with our supervisory training, because bias does make a difference. I hear anecdotes that come out about, you know, I don't know if I wasn't considered for that work because they didn't think, you know, I dress so femininely. I'm not talking about me. This is a female, dressed so femininely. I don't think the manager thought, like, I could really go out and, you know, work on the line out in the field crew. We hear some stories about that. That obviously is very hard to get to, but when you do bias training, it helps people, our supervisors, managers, hiring managers, start to think about, are my, you know, unconscious bias, we make them conscious, impacting our hiring decisions.
Anna, can I just ask you a question? Because 2 years ago, after Steve and I did the citywide span of control study, we had this conversation about the class comp study for non-represented employees. So can you just, because it's going to be a long day and it's going to get longer, I think, here. Can you just restate what you just said about what you're already doing as part of that class comp study to address pay equity?
I can, but I think why don't I turn it over to Elizabeth Noon since she's here. Would that be fine?
Remind us 2 years ago when we framed this and there was a component that you were going to do, what is that component and where are you on that?
That component is actually looking at all the work that all employees do. So we had everyone fill out a position description form, which was not enjoyable to most people, but what it did was break down everybody's work into duties, responsibilities, from their perspective, because they're the experts on the work. And so we're using those position descriptions to describe classifications of work. So instead of having a manager somewhere say, okay, this is what I think people are doing, We're going to the employees. So each one of them is telling us, this is the actual work I do. And that's going to be the basis to create the broader classifications. And then those broader classifications are going to be used to go out to market, as well as look internally to compare across different avenues of work the actual duties that people are doing to figure out what it's worth, what it should cost, what we should price it at. And so that makes it an even playing field. And as far as where we are right now, about halfway through, we should be delivering recommendations to you next year.
So as a follow-up to that, and I know as one of our 9 of 26 bureau directors who's female, that you've been working on this issue for a long time, and indeed, as Commissioner Fish noted, the council funded the class comp study. Is there anything in this ordinance that is in addition to what you're already doing?
Yes, it is. I think what we would do in addition, based on the resolution, is, the two things I've talked about. I think asking the HR business partners who work with the hiring managers to ask those questions in terms of the rationale for hiring the one candidate versus others when we're looking at. And it would be, I know this is focused on gender, of course, but we have similar concerns around people of color. Second, expand our training. But third, provide you counsel with data on a regular basis, which I think would be really helpful. As I said, you've been getting affirmative action data, but I think that's a little bit overwhelming because it's so detailed, and we can do something, take that so it's the concept, the data will be much easier to read. You won't have to go through line by line by line. You know, you've seen them. It's, literally, I think, almost 100 pages of information to go through. But I think our commitment would be provide that on a bi-yearly basis. You can look at trends then decide what else you'd like to see us do.
And you can do that within existing resources?
That we can do within existing resources,
and
yes.
Without detracting from the work on race and disability?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, we can.
Okay, other questions for the team? Thank you very much. Anyone want to speak on this item?
David Davis signed up, but he may have left.
Can he be here? Okay, then let's take a vote, please, on the resolution.
Fish?
Thank you, Commissioner Salzman, for shining a light on this issue and bringing this forward. Thank you to our outstanding team members, and I look forward to collaborating in the look and the design of this annual report card, because I think it will be helpful. Bye.
Saltzman?
I want to thank Tia Williams and my staff, Anna Canwit, Elizabeth Nunez, for all their help in helping to put together this resolution and to really identify a tangible product that will come out of this, which is the scorecard or baseline under which we can then really see how we're doing and, against that, evaluate any policy options the council may wish to pursue. And there may be some options. There's some interesting things going on, as we know, in other cities and states. So we'll see where things lead us. But appreciate all your work, and please to vote aye.
Novick?
I really appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's leadership in this, and Tia and Anna and Elizabeth, your work. I'm old enough to remember a time when we thought that all the great inequities in society would have to be resolved by, at the latest 1988. So this is one of a number of areas, but a very important one, where it's kind of embarrassing that it's 2016 and we're still where we are. But I'm proud to be part of a city that is trying to figure out, at least in our own ranks, what we can do to improve. Aye.
Well, thanks, Tia, for your work on this, and thanks to Director Canwit for your ongoing work and leadership within the Bureau and looking at multiple aspects of training, hiring, and reporting. So I'm glad that we're going to be getting this biannual report. I also remind the Council that we did hear testimony in our budget forums from AFSCME about the police records specialists who get paid less than their counterparts, and many of them are women. So that's another aspect of what we can do right here and now, including right here and now hiring within our bureaus And if the female candidates don't ask, may I have an extra week of vacation because I have had 20 years experience or whatever, maybe we offer it and make sure that the different ways of promoting, and I don't mean just promoting into different positions, but promoting and allowing, giving opportunities for everyone to reveal how well they can do a particular job is incumbent at every aspect of our organization. Thank you for your work.
Seems like there may be a march of progress here in Portland where we start things like domestic partners agreements or ban the box, if not start, at least be in the vanguard. In this case, I'm glad we're part of this movement. Thank you, Tia, for making us part of this movement. Look forward to more work for all of us on this very important justice issue. Thank you.
Aye.
Okay.